Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Yes, that's the sound of rock cracking. And once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. Glad to have you, new listeners. Some of you may be tuning in to listen to what happened to Doc Holliday last week. Well, talk about rock splitting politics. I feel like something was falling on my head, and it wasn't raindrops.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling.
Well, like I said, something was falling on my head. It felt like rock from Rock Splitting Politics, not raindrops like B.J. Thomas sang about way back in the late or early 70s. Well, what happened last week? Well, the Mississippi Senate race is getting down the stretch and it's heating up. This is for the Senate primary, the Republican primary election. It's between incumbent Thad Cochran, has been there in the Senate 36 years, going for a seventh term, against the Tea Party-backed Chris McDaniels, state senator. Very tough challenger, and things are starting to fly, and there's accusations flying on both sides. And Doc Holliday here was trying to just mind my business and write something I thought was to be taken as that Thad Cochran could have some inside ability to help save a National Guard unit, and he'd got whipped up on a one campaign site, and the other, a lot of people in the Tea Party cried foul in a way that surprised me. Didn't know what was going on until I started getting some emails and phone calls. And so, interesting week last week for Doc Holliday, and we're going to talk about that in today's show. I'll tell you the full story for what I know, and I'll tell you I don't know everything going on in each campaign, but I do know this. Last week, I got smacked in the middle of it, and I think I'm a better person. How about that? Better radio host. How about that? A better Tea Party backer. How about that? A better Republican backer. How about that? A better conservative because of some things I learned. So listen, and you shall hear more than just the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. You're going to hear what happened to Doc Holliday, even as he spoke in Guntown, Mississippi, at a rally to celebrate Open Carry Firearms Day, Guntown, Mississippi. A great week last week. I have to tell you this, that there's going to be more on this show than just the campaign between the Mississippi Senator Thad Cochran and State Senator Chris McDaniel. For the rest of the nation, I know I have a lot of listeners in Mississippi who are tuning in to find out my take on what happened and where we go from here and what is going on in the race. But it is important for people from New York and other places, and D.C. especially, are watching what's going on in Mississippi. We've had a couple of shows talking about that. It is pinpointed as probably the only possibility of upsetting an incumbent United States senator in a Republican primary, similar to what happened to Richard Lugar in Indiana a couple years ago. So a lot of eyes, national eyes, are watching this race. And I know as we finalize some of the primaries in other parts of the country, that it's very important that you see what's going on here in Mississippi. A lot to learn about, because whichever way this race swings, I think it will influence the national movement of the Tea Party movement one way or another. And I'm going to talk about that and tell you about it, Doc Holliday's view and his take coming up on the second half of the show. But first, we have Bill Frady. And Bill is a spokesman for Gun Owners of America, and he has his own radio show that many of you listen to, Lock and Load. And we got him here to talk about some of the things that's coming out of the Department of Justice. Eric Holder, we've had a program talking about some groups, some African-American pastors, even trying to impeach Eric Holder. And so he's making a lot of people upset, but the gun owners have every right to be upset, gun owners and people in the gun industry. So wait to hear what Bill Frady has to tell you. He's coming up. We're going to get him on the line right now. Right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. This week we are very, very privileged to have Bill Frady, popular radio show host of Lock and Load and an official spokesman for the Gun Owners of America. Bill, welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Well, thank you, Doc. Thanks for having me.
Well, Bill, one of the things I know that you are an expert on is what's going on in the gun world and Second Amendment rights. Tell us what's going on.
The official name of it is Operation Choke Point. It's a joint Department of Justice, Federal Trade Commission, FDIC operation.
Wow.
And what they do is they pigeonholed 30 businesses that they have designated as either morally, in their viewpoint, which coming from this administration is funny, but in their viewpoint is morally decadent to some degree or whatever.
You said pigeonhole. Tell our listeners what you mean by pigeonhole. You mean singling them out. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Singling them out. Industries like payday loan services, mm-hmm. online gambling, pornography, escort services, online escort services. There's a whole host of them out there. And they've lumped the gun industry and the ammo industry into that.
Oh, okay. Because before, you wouldn't call gun owners or, well, a gun industry as decadent, but now it's been lumped in with these other businesses, so-called businesses. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, the other businesses that they have targeted, like them or not, they're conducting legal business. They pay their taxes. Mm-hmm. They obey their regulations, whatever they may be.
Right.
And, you know, if there's a market for it, whether you or I may not partake of that market, in my viewpoint, it's better to let the free market decide whether they sink or swim than get out there and have the federal government decide they're going to have a hand in their financial success.
Right.
So what they do is once they have identified them, they find out who their financial body is, their bank or who's handling their credit card services. And then they subpoena them and they bombard them with all of this stuff based upon this one customer whom they identify.
Okay.
And the banks can decide whether they're going to go up, you know, banks are not, they try to mitigate risk, do away with risk.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to kick that customer to the curb. We've seen that happen in the gun industry. Their primary target has been payday lending service.
Okay.
But they have been hitting others, and this is sort of a probe, and it's a very dangerous probe.
Has this ever happened before this administration has come into power?
There'll be certain banks that rise up and say, your business is not good business, like McMillan Brothers Rifle Works. They were kicked out of their bank, Bank of America, about a year, 14 months ago. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if this was choke point at the beginning, or what it was, but they were a multi-million-dollar client. They had a big line of credit. They were the epitome of a good customer for Bank of America, and they did away with them.
And so you're saying it's more than just them. Now there's other companies that have targeted or pigeonholed by the Department of Justice.
Yes, sir. I forget the name of one gun company that comes to mind. It made it in the news. But the father had owned it as a brick-and-mortar gun shop, and he retired and left it to his daughter. She wanted to take it online. The bank told her that they no longer were welcome there, and she essentially had to shut down for 2 weeks until she can get everything sorted out. Because a lot of the gun industry now is online. Even with guns, I mean, you can do FFL to FFL transfers between two entities and originate that purchase from online. And if they can't handle your credit card to take a payment, they're out of business.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because it has to be a credit card pretty much over the internet.
Right. So, and not only that, I mean, everything day to day, going out and developing advertising, going out and developing new products if they're a manufacturer, opening new places, hiring new people. The gun industry is very robust.
And it's the same like any business. You got your overhead, marketing, and everything else.
Yes, sir.
It's not unlike any other business. So if you don't have access to credit, access to a bank, then you are being relatively shut down.
Relatively, yes, sir. Now, the gun industry is fighting back. The McMillan brothers that I mentioned earlier, when they figured out what was going on, they sold off their multi-million-dollar rifle-building operation. Uh-huh. And they have begun something called Merchant Services LTD, which is going to be a financial services setup that handles only gun customers.
Okay, so they're going
PayPal and Square, they won't let you do business buying a gun over PayPal and Square. So we've seen a company called Pistol Pay emerge, which does essentially the same thing as a PayPal or a Square. So the gun industry, which operates primarily on cash, when they have a multi-million-dollar business, they have multi-millions of dollars. And just like with everything else, whenever they get a new reg to come down to, they sidestep it and create something new.
But do you see that happening a lot across the industry now? Taking lemons and making lemonade?
It is. It hasn't become as widespread because they're taking their time about targeting. This is a covert action. The way this works, because the Department of Justice is doing this in the background, whenever a bank kicks a gun customer out, the first one that draws the ire of the gun community is the bank. It's not the Department of Justice.
Okay.
So this is a covert action on their part, and it's actually sort of ingenious in the workings of it because, Eric Holder's not exactly the most popular dude out there on the planet, although I find it quite amusing that he's worried about morals out there in the business world.
Well, and Bill, one of the things you brought up, now you brought this up, and you say that acting like it's like a covert operation. I mean, is this your best guess that what is going on, or do you have actual proof it is coming from the Department of Justice?
It has been acknowledged by the Department of Justice.
Okay. And
it has been acknowledged by the Holder Department of Justice. No, I wouldn't make up the name of it or anything. I'm not that imaginative.
Okay, well, Bill, that's what I just want our listeners to understand. This is actually going on, and some of our listeners may have already run into that problem, and I'd like for them, they can email me and let me know if they know similar situations. Now, a lot of things in this industry, in the business world of today, we see mom and pop shops being crushed, and that's really so much of the gun industry has mom and pop gun shops all across the country.
Yes, sir, they do.
You see this as a danger to them?
I see this as a danger to the free market as a whole. If they're successful in this, I mean, this is like modern day book burning. They're making a judgment call based upon what they see to be immoral and deciding they're just going to shut them out of the free market by denying them financial services. If this works, if this isn't turned back, if this isn't stopped, then if they do away with all of those 30 categories of business, do you remember the raid on the Gibson guitar factory?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well, now, Fender, who was probably guilty of the same thing but was an Obama donor, did not have that kind of raid done on them. So what if they start targeting you based upon your political leanings and decide to do this financial denial of service to you? Then they're taking down individual businesses just because it worked one time when they were doing it. And it's still going to be covert because, we don't know what they're doing on the back end with the banks. We know that they're doing, this is ostensibly to prevent fraud. Okay. And, but like I said, all of these industries out there, if you're a porn company, for example, and you're taking a credit card payment, well, there's safeguards built into that where fraud doesn't happen. And there's reporting procedures for that if fraud does happen. if you're buying a gun part and you're paying over the internet, you have the same set of regulations and rules and safeguards built into place. So this could have a broader implication. Yes, they're targeting us right now because they're hoping that we'll sit back and say, well, we're not like the porn industry, we're not like the payday lenders. They're not businesses that I partake of. Uh-huh. But they have it. They're legal.
As long as they're legal, they have a legal right to do the best they can.
If I'm a constitutionalist and I believe in the Constitution, there's going to be some things I don't like that happens that are perfectly right. constitutional. So,
but what you're saying is that's what if the gun industry is being pigeonholed or targeted, then it's really, you know, if they can do that to the gun industry, they can do it to any industry in America. And that's why all people, even if you're not a gun enthusiast, you should be. It should concern you that we have our government going against people who are just trying to make a living.
Yeah, that's a very good analysis of it. What it boils down to is if they can pick a business and decide to go after it, if they're doing something illegal, criminally investigate them. If they're not doing anything illegal and you want to go after them because you don't like them, when do they start spelling America with a K?
Wow. Spelling America with a K, that's Bill Frady, and he ended up on a great note because does that mean we're getting closer and closer to communism? Well, I tell you one thing, Bill Frady helped point out some things that are very important. Any business is threatened when one business of any industry can be picked by the Department of Justice to go at and almost harass, and that's what you need to know. And if you know some situations like that, email me, let me know, because it's very important that people understand that what makes America free is the ability for people to have the right to keep and bear arms. That's not infringed upon. Would guns keep America free? No. When you hear that, oh, say, do guns don't kill people? People do. That's true. And will guns make America free? No. Will people make America free? No. But guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens that protect and defend is what keeps freedom alive and well in America. The Second Amendment was placed in the United States Constitution because our founders knew government one day would get too big and try to do too many things, and the individual's liberties must be defended. We're a republic, not a democracy. We have rights under United States Constitution, and the Second Amendment is alive and well thanks to you and me and people across this country who are willing to stand up and not let the liberals take away what our forefathers gave to us, because they knew the price of freedom that they had paid, and we had to keep the ability to have guns and homes and our ability to protect ourselves against anybody, including an obtrusive government. Now, saying all of that, it's time to switch gears. We got the second half of the show coming up, and we're going to talk about the Mississippi Senate race, Republican primary, that's getting hot with some mudslinging and accusations. And somehow Doc Holliday got caught up in the middle of it last week, and we'll tell you all about that just after this.
I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know.
Now that's just some Louis Armstrong to remind all the political pundits that this world has more about it than just politics. There's people who fight like they're in a gladiator arena in Rome, but we can all live to live another day. Let me remind everyone of that. And Louis Armstrong sure did. And he sings about what a wonderful world. And it is wonderful. Our country has a lot of problems. We've covered it over here. And I really fear for the future of this country, and I fear for the future of my children. And that's why I am active in getting messages out, communicating. And that's one reason we do Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And every week we want to bring you some information you may not have heard, or you may have heard just a little about. We dig into that, and we have listeners across the country, because you can hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. And I want to remind you, we're more than just a show. We're a book. You can go to my website page. Just click on that front page there, and you can order the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We appreciate those who have ordered, and those who haven't ordered, get yours, or get one for one of your liberal friends especially. We have fun here at this show. We have fun putting it together, but it's a serious show because our country is in peril, I do believe, if we don't get something to turn it around. So in the second half of the show, I'm going to talk about some of the things that happened last week that I had didn't seem to have any control over. And that's an important part to let you know that sometimes life throws you things that you're not prepared for, and it's interesting to see what comes out of it. So let me just tell you in the last half of the show here about last week, Doc Holliday. I do have a column that runs once a month with usually a political piece that we call Point Counterpoint. I have a liberal friend that I love him dearly. We're brothers in Christ, and his political view is just all wrong. Man, and I keep praying one day he'll see the right way. But saying all that, last few years, once a month, we'll do a Point Counterpoint. This month, he knew the Mississippi Senate elections, the primary race for the Republicans and the Democrats are coming up. What's really closely watched is the Senate race. We've talked about it here on this show before. And this month, my cohort, my friend and liberal friend wrote a point that really I thought it ridiculed our elderly statesman. I saw elder statesman. He is 76. He's been in the United States Senate for 36 years. Some people wondered if he would run again, and he kept everybody guessing until late last year and started a campaign, said he's going to run again, and got a little late start. But he's running strong, and there were about probably at least 10, maybe 15 people, if he was not going to run, who were thinking about jumping in the race for the United States Senate in the state of Mississippi. But there was someone before he announced that said he was running for the United States Senate in the Republican primary if Thad Cochran ran or not. His name was State Senator Chris McDaniels. And he has a lot of support from the Tea Party-backed groups, Freedom Works. We'll just say the different organizations, Club for Growth and others, that have helped put together a financial game plan and have helped with the candidate and the message. And there's a lot of volunteers all across the Tea Party supporting Chris McDaniels, Chris McDaniel, and then Thad Cochran decided to run. So the race has been on, but the primary is June the 3rd. And things are getting heated up. Both sides realize it's a struggle to who's going to win. It's for each political side, it's sort of a life and death situation. And it's not real life and death. It is a political life in some people who have jobs or want jobs in the political field. So therefore, there's a lot of jockeying around, a lot of things being said. And when my friend penned a point about our statesman and senator from Mississippi for so many years, he said that he was past his prime, and he called it several things that just and said that the Democratic candidate, the former congressman in Mississippi, Travis Childress, was the best person to be elected senator in the state of Mississippi and take over for Thad Cochran. Well, I couldn't take that without saying something to help the Republican Party, and talked about how diversity within the party, between the Tea Party and the incumbent, that can strengthen a party if it's done right. And we'll have to see if it strengthens the party here in Mississippi. But I do have, when I wrote my response, I did tip my hat to the incumbent being in a position where he might be in the chairmanship of the very influential U.S. Senate Appropriations Committee. And therefore, if we were possibly going to lose a National Guard unit, that he would probably be in a position better than anybody to help keep that unit. And anyway, that came up in our paper and thought it would be there. And I knew some people might not like what I said, but I didn't think a whole lot of it till about the middle of the week. I started getting phone calls and then found out that it was been on the incumbent senator had on website that Tea Party leader Dr. Ed Holliday touts Thad Cochran. And I never endorsed, never said I was endorsing anybody. I just, what I said, and feel like it is true that Thad Cochran would be in a position to help when it comes to negotiations if bases, military bases and things were being threatened or being cut. And it's just, that's just the way politics are of seniority. But that was taken by the campaign. And when it said Tea Party leader, it made it sound like a lot of some Tea Party people were backing Senator Thad Cochran. And so that put the Tea Party into major spin motion. And I didn't realize that was there. And then I started getting phone calls and emails. And I was busy, like always, with my work and several things going on. And I don't get on the internet that much to check things, but obviously it went viral in some places. And before you know it, Doc Holliday was the talk of a lot of lips. And I'm not going to get mad about anything, because when something like that happens, there's people don't know what's going on. People who have known you for a long time. Maybe I think everybody wanted Doc Holliday in the Tea Party. Been with the Tea Party many years, and this show was originally called Doc Holliday's Tea Party, but we went to another name to make sure that everybody felt comfortable listening to the political show. I don't mind liberals. We do conservative theology here on this show, but I do not mind liberals listening, and I want them to listen. And I people like my good friend I write with, I'm glad for liberals to listen to the show to learn from it, and I don't mind their emails, and I learn things. There's always give and take in any situation. I've always taken a point. I can learn something from anybody, because God has made that person. There's ability for me to get wisdom or gain wisdom out of any person that God has created. So we do the weekly podcast, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, for you and for our listeners, and to help this movement to regain freedom and create an atmosphere of prosperity and peace for the American people. So what went on last week? Well, there was print media, there's internet media, there's radio, and I went on radio, statewide radio, explained the positions that, number one, and for those who didn't hear all that, and you're listening or listening again to find out what Doc Holliday's saying, is this: I do not endorse any candidate personally. Anything that's written, I do not represent a Tea Party group or a Tea Party anywhere. But I am happy to say, for my personal beliefs in this race, and it stands against the grain of Tea Party people just about everywhere, but our governor is called the first Tea Party elected governor, Governor Phil Bryant. He's squarely behind Thad Cochran. My position is there's a big picture and a little picture. Listen to this. You may not agree with it, but the big picture is the worst thing that can happen in 2014 is that Harry Reid stays as the majority leader and the Democrats keep control of the United States Senate. That's the big picture. The little picture is it's good to get new, strong conservatives like Ted Cruz and others. I'd love to see them get in the Senate. But what's best in the little picture for the state of Mississippi? If we were having base closings threatened, there's many positions that, even though I would love to see a fresh new face in our Senate, at this point in Mississippi's life where we depend on so much, I do believe at this point in this special time that the Tea Party would have been better off not to have engaged this battle. I think it's not one that can be won, and time and energy is being spent. I can be wrong. What I've just said makes a lot of people mad and don't want to hear it. And there is enthusiasm in the Tea Party in Mississippi, and I applaud that. I love to see it. I love to see the energy, and I want it channeled for success. And I look forward to whoever wins the primary, that the Tea Party energy can be directed in Mississippi and even in adjoining states like Arkansas and Louisiana, where Democrat senators can be defeated. But looking at the large picture, what I was going back to, some people are afraid that if Thad Cochran loses, there's a good chance the Democratic National Committee can pump millions of dollars down and paint a picture of Chris McDaniels, because he's not well known, and spend money to paint him any way they want to paint him. And it would make it likely that Mississippi might even elect a Democrat senator. And if it became important to keep the Senate, you can expect tens of millions of dollars to flow into a little state like Mississippi by the Democrats if it means Harry Reid stays in power. That is a threat. Some people don't believe it. Some people say it's ridiculous to think that way. But that's the big picture. The big picture is that Harry Reid must be defeated. That's what the Republicans must do, and that's very important. And so that's my position. And this is what's going on in the Tea Party. Again, the Tea Party is something that's been around 5 years now. Grow it, mature it. And I think that we have to learn, just like George Washington, when he escaped over the East River into Manhattan. He was surrounded, about to be defeated in the early stages of the Revolutionary War. He had his troops exposed, and if it wasn't for the miracle of a fog that went over the East River and covered Washington and his troops through the night and into the early mornings till they all got evacuated, because there was a British warship that if there's an inkling that they were retreating, the warship would have come in, shebang, it was all over, and the revolution would have been stopped in its tracks and the army just about all captured. So once Washington learned that, he never again put his whole army at risk. He was very careful, and he did hit and run. He wanted to beat the British so bad, but he almost got the revolution stopped. And that's what I think the Tea Party has to learn. Do you go after all the incumbents? Do you go after those who just you can't agree with everything with? Let's just get them out of there. Yes, somebody would love to have a Ted Cruz in every state. Would you really? I love Ted Cruz, and I think he's great. But we need the personalities and diversity of different candidates to help get the job done. That's what we learned through the years, and I think the Tea Party's learning that. But it's something that maturing into, the Tea Party has a great future, but we must learn how to win elections. And I just think that the path we're going is that the Tea Party, this is my belief, and I think there needs to be all the primary is over, there needs to be a sit down and look, what's the strategy here? I think the strategy should be just like Nebraska was a big win, West Virginia had a big Tea Party win, and that's because they were open seats. Can we make a policy in most cases not to go against incumbent Republicans, even though you don't like the way they vote? Let's put them on a waiting list. Once the majority of the Democrats that are blocking everything and keeping us from getting good legislation in, once we get them out, then by all means, go toward what you might want to call a rhino. But let's keep some numbers in and win elections and start the long process. Somebody wants it so quick. And we're understanding, just like George Washington, he wanted war over quick, but he understood it's going to be a long war, a war of attrition almost, and he won. But it took many years, almost 8 years. And the Tea Party's 5 years old, want things in a hurry. But my point is, we must make sure we win elections. That's what President Barack Obama said. The Tea Party wants influence, win elections. He's right. That's one thing I agree with, Barack Obama. So that's my take on what's going on Mississippi Senate race. I'll keep you posted next week a little bit more. But Doc Holliday, I got some links on the opening page. You want to look at some of the links, what some of the people are saying with Doc Holliday. And did I make some people upset? I probably did. But my heart and my enthusiasm is with the Tea Party conservative movement working together in unity. So some people are not going to grieve what I just said about the incumbent Thad Cochran in Mississippi. And I know it makes some people upset. I'm not endorsing him. I'm looking at it, communicating and educating what I see. You vote, if my listeners in Mississippi, vote for who you feel like could be the best for Mississippi and the United States. And remember, Harry Reid is the most important thing, is that he does not go back in as the majority leader. And please email me. I got an email list. Email me. And I can't read them all. I can't respond to them all, but I try to read them all. So please do that. And next week, we'll have some more rock-splitting politics. Maybe I won't be in the middle of it next week, but I guarantee you, I enjoy doing the show. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. We're growing because you're listening and telling others. And thank you so much. Next week, we have some more about the primaries. And I told you last week, yes, that we would have someone from Kazakhstan, and we can't get our Skype working technologies. We're going to work on that, get some Skype and technologies. We are going to get a good report from the other side of the world in the next 2 or 3 weeks here. So stay tuned. We'll get that show up. God bless. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.